All right, folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
It's the Tornado Tony Benica.
And Psychic Tom Padgett.
And we got a fantabulous, crazy, ridiculous, unbelievable show for you tonight. Lots to talk about. Dana White battling Meryl Streep there. Back and forth over her little speech there the other night, saying that mixed martial arts was not the arts. So,
because it's, you know, obviously low brow people, you know, unlike her.
Yeah.
I can tell you
the
movie she's been in.
Yeah. Meryl Streep. Anyway. You know what Dana White says about himself.
She's not exactly our demographic.
No. Anyway, yeah. So, lots of other stuff to talk about as well. Mark Hunt is suing the UFC. Dana White and Brock Lesnar over this UFC 200 fight where Lesnar tested positive for an estrogen blocker and some other stuff, I believe. Anyway, civil lawsuit. Against all the named parties there, claiming they colluded for an unfair competitive environment. ESPN's Brett Okamoto interviewed Hunt. Hunt said, "I want the UFC to understand it's not okay to keep doing what they're doing. They're allowing guys to do this. They had a chance to take all the money from this guy because he's a cheater, and they didn't." And, this is a pretty narrow-minded, I believe, by the new ownership of the UFC, but allegedly Hunt said all he wanted was the UFC or Brock himself to just pay him what Brock earned, and then he would have been happy with it. But now he's taking it to court, and it's going to be lawyer fees and up the yin-yang, and if the UFC loses, it's bad precedent to set.
Hunt
accuses the UFC, Lesnar, and White of racketeering and fraud as well. Racketeering. Oh, my God.
And then I guess he's going to have to try to prove his damages, which I guess aside from a loss on his record, I don't think he was seriously injured in that fight.
And Lesnar made $2.5 million in disclosed income for the bout, of which the Nevada State Athletic Commission ended up only taking 10%, $250,000. Hunt made a whopping $700,000, and just wanted the extra purse, you know?
And then his point is that Lesnar paid the Athletic Commission, but the victim didn't get anything. I guess I see his point.
And I guess it was a little bit extra. It wasn't just the demand of his purse, because they said, Hunt's lead attorney said, "Once we found out the penalty was only 10% of his purse, we went back to the UFC and offered to accept Lesnar's purse amount, less than the $250,000 penalty. We also wanted them to accept the clause moving forward," which I guess means that, you know, if someone else juices, they pay their purse back to the other person. I don't know what that means, that part of it. But Mark says the penalties aren't harsh enough, says the attorney. What's interesting is that the penalties are harsh enough on paper, they're just not being enforced by the UFC. Now Hunt is seeking, quote, millions, unquote, in undisclosed damages. Of course, White and the UFC are not commenting.
Of course, it's not the UFC's job to enforce it. Isn't that the State Athletic Commission's job to enforce it?
Right.
It's a strange lawsuit.
Well, Hunt did say last week, I just did the little thing about Hunt saying that he's going to sue anybody else that he faces who ends up juicing. So he was just like, all right, he puts that out there, and then somebody probably contacted him and said, well, maybe you should sue over the last time, because this guy's got money, you know. Because I would think, if that one got dirty, a lot of people would want to settle out quick. You know, and he's going to end up making more than he would have if he just got them to pay the 2 point whatever million. That's crazy. But, you know, Brock swept right in there, got the exemption on the testing, and did his thing, and gets to walk away as a winner. You know, they don't even haven't even changed it to a no contest, as far as I know. So, unbelievable shit. And just a little slap on the wrist like that—it's not fair. I mean, I make some good points, so hopefully, this kind of a lawsuit might actually change some stuff. Which sounds like it's more about that than the money for Hunt, but. Same time, you know, you get a feel for a guy like that who keeps getting in these situations. And we didn't have too many fights to talk about last week. Not a whole lot of crap went down. Boxing or martial arts wise.
Yeah, like I said, unfortunately, it's like the beginning of the year, lull's still going on right now.
Stuff tomorrow, as we mentioned last week, Friday the 13th. Don't go anywhere. Friday the 13th. Bad luck.
Yeah.
Arislandi Lara at Hialeah, Florida, at the Hialeah Park Racing and Casino. That is. In Florida, we've got Arislandi Lara, 23-2-2, fighting Yuri Foreman, 34-2. Yuri's been absent from the sport for a long time. So this is his comeback, and this is for titles. International Boxing Organization World Super Welterweight title and the WBA Super World Super Welterweight title. It's the Super World Super.
Sad to say, I can't honestly see that being a very exciting fight.
All right, well, you heard it. Here first, folks. Don't watch it. No, it's going to be on Spike TV. Premier Boxing Champions, I believe. But Leon Margulies is the promoter. Warriors Boxing. They usually do pretty well matching up guys. They do sometimes have some controversy, though. I actually saw a couple fights with some controversy while I was in Vegas, and. You know, watch him one on TV. Anyway, co-main event is Anthony Durrell, 29-1-1, versus Norbert Nemesapati. I guess. He's 24-4. And then we got the undefeated 13-0 fighters on Friday the 13th. Who the hell set that up? Miguel Cruz and Alex Martin, 13-0. Welterweight. So, yeah, that's the big fight of the week there, Friday the 13th.
The power of numerology.
I had a friend whose favorite number was 13 because John Valentin was number 13 for the Red Sox at the time. He was a pretty good middle infielder and sometimes shortstop. He's actually one of the only people to record an unassisted triple play. You ever see one of those, Tom?
I've heard about it. Never seen one live or on television, no. Just heard about it. Very rare.
Triple play.
You gonna ask me, Rich?
I bet you Tony's seen one. Yeah. Tony's a baseball
player. I've seen two. And I can name the players, the position that they played, you know, at the time.
Oh.
I can do the year. And I can even tell you the one pitcher that was involved that I bet you Rich has heard of. I'm not just a Rain Man of boxing, but I'm sometimes the Rain Man of baseball.
Whoa.
You ready?
It's not so
Rich, bad. Have you ever heard of a professional major league a pitcher by the name of Curt Schilling?
Yes.
Okay. When Curt Schilling pitched for the Philadelphia Phillies, and I believe this was back in 1992,
two men on, obviously, and he, threw the pitch. I forget it was batting, unfortunately, but line drive to the second baseman by the name of Mickey Morandini, or the legendary Harry Callis would say, Mickey Morandini, who did the tag, stepped on the bag, and then obviously he caught the ball on a triple play. I had a baseball video, and it was talking about that play, and Mickey's not thinking anything. He just says, oh, end of the inning, throws the ball down, and, he goes to the dugout. And you see Curt Schilling look back, and that ball mysteriously disappeared, so they think Schilling went and got it. And then just a couple years ago, the Phillies had a player by the name of Eric Bruntlett. Journeyman player, basically average in everything he did. Below average hitter, not really that fast, mediocre defender, but he was just a guy that kind of did everything. And he also scored the winning run in two of the Phillies' four World Series victories in 2008. Well, the following year, 2009, they're playing, I believe it was the Mets. Nobody out. Person hits one. Bruntlett's playing second base. Bruntlett gets an error. Boots the ball. Guy's on first base. Next batter up hits one. Bruntlett has another error. Now it's first and second. Then, line drive, unassisted triple play. So he had two errors and then an unassisted triple play.
Nice.
I don't know. I think that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
As for boxing, we also got some boxing down in New York. The home of the hated Yankees. But we got this one's in Brooklyn. The Brooklyn Dodgers. No, they don't play there no more. Anyway, James DeGale fighting Badu Jack in the main event. This is a Mayweather Promotions card on USA Showtime. I shouldn't say USA. This just always says box on USA Showtime. So it's a Showtime boxing thing. Anyway, DeGale comes in at 23-1. Jack is 20 wins, 1 loss, 2 draws. This one's for the WBC and IBF World Super Middleweight titles. And the co-main event, undefeated fighters Jose Pedraza and Gervonta Davis going at it for the IBF World Super Featherweight title. Jose has 22 wins. Gervonta has 16. And thanks, Boxrec. Thanks a lot. No knockouts available right now. Amanda Serrano is also on the card. She has got 30 wins, 1 loss, 1 draw, fighting Yasmin Rivas, who has a little bit more experience. She's got 35 wins, 9 losses, and 1 draw. And that one is for the WBO World Female Super Bantamweight title. Then you've got another couple undefeated fighters going at it for the vacant WBC Silver Middleweight title. Yevgeny Kurtov, who is 14-0, fighting Emmanuel Alim, who is 16-0-1. If that ain't enough, you got a heavyweight fight. Adam Kownacki, 14-0, fighting Joshua Tufte, who is 19-1. Also, Thomas DeLorme, 23-2 at welterweight, fighting Brian Jones, who's 13-6. And then you just got a bunch of really, really undercard fights. How'd you like to fight at a place called the Glitter Dome? Yeah, I had a big fight down at the Glitter Dome. Denver, Colorado, it's the actual place. Main event is a couple fighters who are under 500, so I just thought that was funny, the name of it. Saturday.
Under 500 guys, it'll give me a good show.
Sometimes. All the way up to Sunday.
You've got mail.
You've got mail.
Yeah, I'm in a fight right now with Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
said was a copyright infringement. Well, here was the thing. It was one of those 4 years ago. Second of all, it was a video of me singing Facebook, or singing karaoke that I posted on Facebook. So the actual artist was not singing on it.
You know what the solution to it is? You only post 30 seconds of it, and then it's a Fair Use Act.
Okay.
That's a definite. If you only have 30 seconds of it, if it's a whole song that they're worried about, then they can't do shit. So you can say that's the Fair Use Act. Copyright law. Yeah, that sucks. I've had to do that. Especially when you're, like, trying to run an account for something else and, like, you just added random people.
Exactly. You tell you I can't post on my own fan page now. So...
Yeah, that sucks.
And you know what really, 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 really pisses me off? new world champion was born about 20 hours ago.
Yeah.
And I want to post a photo of him. My new trainee was just born. Uh-huh. And I'd like to, you know, post a photo of him, and I can't.
Right.
Well, Warren, you know, I've encountered more times when they want me to sign up for Facebook, like if I want to read something, and it keeps, it's almost like they want more people to sign up. Now they kick people off for nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Wow. Retarded.
That makes sense.
Anyway, yeah, Facebook, the other thing that sucks about them is they're so big that, like, it's impossible to, like, contact a person or get, like, an actual response from someone now, or, like, there's no number to call, like, you don't even get a machine, like, press 1 for customer service, like, you just can't find it, there's no way to connect with them, just sucks. Anyway, for folks who want to read about low fighter pay in the UFC, the situation going on right now with the new ownership, there is a fantastic article on BleacherReport.com by Scott Harris. It's called For Love, Not Money, How Low Fighter Pay is Undermining MMA. And it's just touches a lot of bases. And it's pretty good stuff. I won't read it all here, but talks a lot about Conor McGregor's Lamborghini as opposed to female fighter Lauren Murphy's Dodge Neon and the disparities between the two. I got another juicier MMA story to share. Big Ben Rothwell apparently has some kind of a beef with Travis Brown, because he has gone as far as to call Travis a, quote, man whore. Found a sugar mama in Ronda.
Talk about piling on, huh?
Yes. Wow. And, Tom sent me some stuff about Ronda. And her poor, poor trainer, Edmund. Poor guy. It wasn't a good year for them. And wasn't a good year for Travis.
Yeah, then her house got vandalized.
Yes, that, and you can't even read what they wrote, so I don't even know if it was related to her fight at all, but somebody just decided to tag some shit up on the house. Anyway, the couple, to Rousey and Brown, went 0-3 inside the octagon for 2016. Travis lost back-to-back fights against Cain Velasquez and Fabricio Werdum, and of course, Ronda got smoked by Amanda Nunes, or as, one of the commentators said, dusted. That was my favorite term for the performance there. She got dusted in 48 seconds at UFC 207. And Ben Rothwell decided this is a good opportunity to go after Mr. Brown. And did not pull any punches, so to speak. He says, I have no problem talking shit about him because he brings shit on himself. He's one of the guys. I try to be nice to him and cool, and the more I learn about him, the more of his history. He's one of those guys that's just a man whore. He's a phony. And a lot of shit pisses me off with him. Why did you suddenly leave a great camp that made him good and move to a fucking gym that's got a lot of guys losing? For me, I think it was a financial thing. He went there and found a sugar mama and his girlfriend. He's just looking to get himself taken care of. He's got some brains and like, why should I fight? I'll just get her to pay for everything. It's a good financial move on his part, but it hasn't done his personal career any good. And a lot of people think the guy has regressed and he's not getting any better. He's lost his footwork. He's lost a lot of different things that made him good. We're going to find out with Derek Lewis. Is the guy going to get motivated? That's one thing about our sport. You can look like you're just out of it and forgotten about. Then next thing you know, you can resurge yourself. Whew. Ouch.
Wow. So, yeah, that would be an interesting fight with Bobby Willis. But, you remember, I know we've talked about this before. When he got out to Edmund's gym, he didn't know how to throw a hook.
Yeah.
And Edmund had to, he says, oh, is that how I throw a hook? Boy, now what a slap to Winkle Johnny Jackson.
And what he gave to Brown, he also gave a little back to Rousey. He says, what matters now, what's she going to do now? What matters is 6 months from now, if she walks away from the sport and never fights again, she never has to have her name brought up again. If she can't come back from everything she's been through and being put on such a high pedestal and making waves, then she loses two fights and she doesn't come back from that, well, then she's a loser and she never was a champion. Like him or hate him, but Conor McGregor, man, what an example. The guy loses, does the media, comes back, wins a fight, and wins a title fight. Dominic Cruz, like him or hate him, he faced the media after losing his title and treated it like a champion. They set the bar for the rest of us. That's how we need to act. That's how you handle a loss, and she needs to learn from the rest of us now.
Okay, man. It's very hard to argue with what he's saying. Right. I would just question the timing of it. Kick him when he's down, you know. I just wonder if there was any words between the two of them, between Brown and Ben.
I don't know. I'm imagining there will be some after he reads this.
You know, that always seemed like such a low-key, polite guy. I mean, yeah. He seems kind of out of character with him. I mean, I met him once, and boy, he couldn't have been more of a gentleman. But you never know.
He calls a man whore like he sees one, I guess. Yes.
That's a terrible thing to say. I mean, I'm just letting that sit in a bit. It's like, oh, wow. Get going in the cage of the ring. No, this is happening now. Yeah. Right now. Right up and now. Oh.
All right, moving on to serious shit. Celebrity boxing, okay? Big story here. Big story. You just can't turn the page of a Google boxing alert these days without reading about this bullshit with Soulja Boy supposed to be taking on Chris Brown. And I don't know if you guys ever seen Tosh.0, the highlight reel show on TV there. Well, Tosh.0 has a segment and he just says, you know, 20 seconds, make as many jokes as possible. Well, here's a story of Mike Tyson set to help Chris Brown train for this celebrity boxing match. So I feel like we should have 20 jokes in 20 seconds for this one. And 50 Cent's involved, of course, so he's probably going to go bankrupt. But supposedly, Mike Tyson is actually training Chris Brown, and Soulja Boy is going to be training, but trained by Floyd, and Floyd is going to promote it. And Tyson's quote exactly is, yeah, Soulja Boy's going to get fucked up.
Now, where do we get to see this at, or do we get to see this?
I've already seen commercials, actually, believe it or not, online.
Is it pay-per-view, or do we have a free TV?
I don't know. Let me tell you in a minute. Brown and Soulja Boy started a public feud on Tuesday, January 3rd, after Brown apparently threatened Soulja Boy for liking a picture of the singer's ex-girlfriend on Instagram after a later incident that appeared to see Soulja Boy robbed of his phone on the street. The rapper took to his Twitter account to not only apologize for his beef with Brown, but also his recent disagreements with some other rappers. It just says it will square off with him in the ring. I mean, I'm sure they'll figure out the particulars. Be the biggest celebrity boxing match the world has ever seen. But, yeah, you can imagine the jokes that Tosh could come up with on that. I'm not just good with the jokes, but... Chris Brown, obviously famous for the worst punch ever, to make the news. And I don't know how he came back from it and still was successful, but, you know, a lot of other people would have been ruined. Just beat the shit out of this girl in the car. And now he's apparently trying to make the best of this bad boy image with a celebrity boxing match with this Soulja Boy. So, see how that goes for him. I hope he gets his ass kicked. We'll see. All right. So, then we got UFC fights coming up. The return of BJ Penn after he couldn't get any good luck in his last opportunity. He got caught with an IV or something. They suspended him. Now he's back. Going to Phoenix, Arizona at the Talking Stick Arena. I thought the Glitter Dome was bad. They got a fight at the Talking Stick Arena. BJ Penn versus Yair Rodriguez is the main event. UFC Fight Night 103. It's going to be Saturday. I don't know what the time difference. I'm pretty sure they usually do it at 10 o'clock no matter what, right?
I think this one's a Sunday, Rich.
Sunday? January 15th?
Yeah.
Sunday.
This is Sunday.
Okay. So I don't know what time it's going to be. BJ Penn versus Yair Rodriguez is in the main event. And if it's in prime time, then you'll probably just be finishing watching the Green Bay Packers smoke the Dallas Cowboys. We gotta throw that in there. Gotta throw that up there. It's funny because my girlfriend's boss and now her best friend's boyfriend, also the same person, this guy Jeff, he is a huge Cowboys fan. So... Shelly, my girlfriend, says, oh, you know, you need to come up to Maine so we can go to Holly's house. It's Holly's boyfriend, who's the Cowboys fan. And watch the Patriots game there, you know, Saturday night. So I said, only if I can stick around until Sunday and watch Jeff cry when the Packers beat the Cowboys. Oh, I wasn't really serious, but it was funny. We gotta watch out, Vince Wilfork, you know, and the Texans coming back to town. Big game.
You're overconfident with the Texans, you know,
I don't think so either, but stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened. I agree with that. The Texans ain't got a shot in hell.
Well, the Giants are out, so that's a big relief, you know, because they just pulled miracles out their ass.
Yeah, the Patriots, yeah. Also a big relief for the Cowboys, because, you know, I mean, yeah, the Cowboys lost the last game of the season to the Eagles, but, you know, they pretty much had Mark Sanchez play two-thirds of that game, and that's, you know, about as effective as having me play quarterback.
Yep.
But the only two real losses they had this season were both to the Giants.
Yeah, I'm liking Packers versus Patriots. Due for a rematch. Due for a big rematch there. It'll be an interesting Super Bowl.
That's a rematch, what, like 2 years in the making?
Yeah, long time. Anyway.
I'm sure Tom will appreciate this. This is another situation of me being me. A girl that I used to train, and I do have something else to report to you guys that I think you're really going to like. This is legitimate boxing information that I'm going to. But a girl that I used to train about 8 years ago was a diehard Steelers fan. That's the one that when she passed off that time after the Eagles-Steelers game, I made her do so many drills she couldn't lift her arm to have dinner. And she's and Tom, I'm sure I told you this, but, you know, we were at the game and, you know, we were with our... you know, different groups of people, but she posted pictures the next day, which should have been removed from Facebook because I find them offensive, but they were her and all of her friends in Steelers stuff, and then and I said, oh, where's the post game?
frame photos with the tears running your face paint. I wasn't crying, but was telling you Eagles fans off. I said, whoa. Let me get this right. You're from here, Philadelphia area, born and bred, but you root for the Steelers. You come to our stadium, you dress like that, you paint your face like a buffoon, you lose and you still talk shit. It's a free country and I'll say what I want. I said, okay. So I first I made her do the ladder, 500 punches, and then I made her do the pads. She was starting to huff and puff and getting tired. And she was, am I done after this? I said, oh, now you're going to give me 3 rounds on the bag. Why? Because it's a free country and I'm the coach. I say, you got to do. So we invited her to stay over for dinner. She couldn't lift her foot or mouth. Uh-huh. Emailed me the next day. I hate you. I said, I know. Thank you.
That's awful strange, though. Philly's a good sports town. Now, we have a lot of Steelers fans around here, but, you know, considering that there's been no pro team in this town since 1995, I believe, and Cleveland left to go to Baltimore, there hasn't been a pro team, you know, in over 20 years.
You won a game this year.
Leave the Ohio guy alone.
I kind of understand Steelers fans from here, but I don't get it from Philly. That doesn't make sense.
This girl that I used to train, she said her father was a Steelers fan, and he could have been the guy from the 70s, could have been like a front runner type guy. Hey, that's a team winning all these Super Bowls, and I'm going to really jump on that bandwagon. And he kind of ingrained her with that. So, I mean, I abused her pretty good, but this is the same girl the one time when I was trying to make her really focus on using her left. And she was saying something, I want to use my right. I'm like, you're doing it, I'm going to chop it off. Mm-hmm. And then I said, you got to jab that bag till it hurts. Jab it 500 times without stopping. She's like, but it's a bag, you can't talk. I said, I guess you'll be here all night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she took everything I said literal. So,
is that the one that you sent us the pictures of?
No, that's the girl I'm training now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And this girl I'm training now is a big Eagles fan, so I'm pretty lucky. but this girl is a Steelers fan. A couple years later, Green Bay played Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl. Green Bay wins, and just by chance, my dad had met a guy from Green Bay. They were in Jamaica, and they became friends. So the guy had sent my dad some stuff, you know, a couple of like Green Bay, like little things you would see in a bar where like they have like Miller Lite on one side, bag on the other side, like them little flag looking things. My dad had kept them for a couple years. So Green Bay wins. The very next day, I send her a piece of anonymous mail, all this Green Bay shit. So I get a text message. Why did you send me that Green Bay stuff? I said, what are you talking about? You sent me Green Bay stuff. Blah, blah, blah. I said, why would I own any Green Bay stuff? Well, that's a good point. And I'm like, yeah. A week later, I found a picture of some 400-pound woman wearing a pair of yellow, like, underwear or something with the whole name Roethlisberger spelled out on her ass. And I send her that, too. And she's mad. And then I think she was training with me. And she's talking about it, and I'm trying not to laugh. So we wait about 6 months, and I throw a 4th of July party, and she comes over, and I'm like, your dad, go upstairs and get that Green Bay bar flag type of thing. So he walks down and he just kind of dangles it in front of her face. I knew it was you. Oh, my God. That was one of my greatest pranks. That was a great one.
I'll tell you, my favorite Super Bowl bet ever.
Back to training. I have recently signed one, and a young man that I knew back, you know, about 12 years ago, he was a teenager, maybe around 15, 16 years old at the time. He used to go to this one fitness center I used to go to, and he worked at this little, breakfast lunch place that I knew the owners, another Italian guy. So those guys would always come talk to me when I was working out and shit. And so last year, I had got a message from this kid, Matt. He's like, hey, I'm going to do this boxing exhibition where you want to train me. And I was talking to him a little bit, but then, you know, we had a situation where, you know, with Vinny passing away, and I was, as you saw my email last week, I was kind of, you know, on another planet. And, you know, his fight fell through, thankfully, because I wasn't in the County, or he's going to fight a police officer from, like, a different precinct or something. And he asked me to train him. So he came over last Saturday for the first session, and he's, you know, now he's in his late 20s, about maybe 11, 6 foot, about 205 pounds. You know, he needs a lot of work on his rhythm. He's right now just, he's like a Rocky Balboa, you know, strong, hit a mule, probably hits harder than me, you know, a powerful left hook. I was joking around, I'm like, dude, you just keep throwing that left hook and you turn into a barroom brawler, they're going to call you the Clone Ranger if they know you're training, you know? He's like right now like a clone of me, especially early in my career, before I got a little bit of movement, and I was just a piss in the wind ballroom brawler. And I'm like, yo, kid, I'm like, kid, you don't want to fight like me. You know, keep your brain cells. Came over again last night, and I have him working the pads. You know, I have him working the bag. I have him doing drills where he's learning how to, you know, coordinate his hands and his feet together, you know, so he has that type of balance. And I told him, I said, you know, I was watching him, and everything he threw was hard. And his jab was a jab intended to, you know, knock your head off. Every right hand he threw, every uppercut, every hook, and a lot of times he was loading up with every punch. And I said to him, I said, Matt, you don't have to knock a person out with every punch you throw. I said, you got to understand something. You know, let this punch open up this punch. So I was making him hook off the jab. And he was trying to jab hard, hook hard. I'm like, no. Feather that jab and then stick that hook. But it doesn't have to be wind up. Just feather it and stick it and then set up your right hand. I said, every punch doesn't have to be hard. And I said to him, I said, do you know how many kinds of different jabs there are? And he's like, no. I said, oh, there's tons. I said, there's a jab to stick a guy in the mouth. There's a counter jab. There's a jab to, you know, work your way in. There's a jab to basically blind the guy to hit him with the right hand, like a double jab right hand. There's a jab that's defensive if a guy's trying to press and attack you. I said, you know, you got to learn how to step to your side. You don't have to come straight in all the time. So he was like, I never knew boxing was such a complicated sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really, don't forget the jab to the body. Accidentally. Yeah, that was very hunched active.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's funny you mentioned that too, because talk about boxing being a complicated sport, and I hate to tie it back to this thing, but Mayweather versus McGregor has also been back in the news, and Mayweather has actually put price tags on it now, talking about serious numbers, $100 million he wants for himself,
yeah,
and $15 million he thinks McGregor should make. I'm sure McGregor.
I don't think those numbers are going to work. Yeah. I just cannot imagine that pay-per-view selling that much. But then again, maybe I'm way off base.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they could stack it with enough undercard price to make it worthwhile. But I mean, that would be epic. Because I mean,
I just can't see the circumstance where McGregor does he even have any amateur boxing experience? I don't know if he does. Does he?
He got a boxing license in California, so somehow, I mean.
Well, I'm saying in Ireland. Now, I know that I think he started training in boxing, but I don't know if he even has much of an amateur background, but let alone no pro background.
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm pretty sure he'll get his ass kicked, but I mean,
yeah,
if they can make the fight, people will watch it. They will definitely watch that shit.
I don't know. But then again, with Conor's ego, I can't imagine him taking that much of a pay disparity. I just don't see it.
Well, that's just a way for Floyd to try to make it not happen, is to make him the serious, serious B-side. But I think he wants it more than Conor does.
I don't know. I just can't picture someone putting up that amount of money and hoping to recoup it on the pay-per-view, but I don't know. I've been wrong before.
Ridiculous stuff.
But yeah, what you were saying
Mayweather, with his own promotional and promotional, he runs his own show. Where the UFC guys, they don't. They're contracted to Dana White.
No, not anymore, though. Not anymore, because he's not the ownership. He's just the president now. So it's the Hollywood agent company that would be doing the negotiation. So now it's actually more possible than it was.
Do you really think that's going to happen?
It could. I think it could. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I think that's going to be like another 2 years of just hype it up, and Floyd will stay retired. And then finally he'll just get bored and say, all right, I'm going to shut this motherfucker up and we're going to do this.
Well, that's true. In another 2 years, let's see, Floyd was born, what, 77, I believe.
Yeah, he's a few months younger than me.
Yeah, so two more 40. Years. Yeah, I'm trying to think of how to promote this, and that assumes Conor conquers every weight division, and he's like the A-division champion in New York, however many divisions we have, And then he decides to move on, and Mayweather's been doing nothing for 5 years, and he's an old man. But still, I still can't get
after it. It's going to be a three-person elimination tournament. It's going to be Connor, Floyd, and Ronda.
Yeah, you remember that crazy talk a few years ago. Ronda was so full of herself. Well, I can eat Mayweather.
It's fun.
Good God.
Anyway, getting back to Sunday's fights at the Talking Stick Arena. Co-main event there is a New England guy, Massachusetts guy, Joe Lauzon. Seen him in a lot of events. Comes in at 26-12. Had that rough battle with Jim Miller in his previous fight, I believe. He's fighting another tough opponent, Marcin Held, 22-5. And he has an appropriate last name.
Yeah, that's going to be a very technical battle on the ground.
Yeah.
Held has incredible leg locks.
Yep.
Yeah, that definitely be looking forward to that one.
One because he held on to a couple of people's legs just a little
bit. Yeah, he knows how to held on to that heel hook.
And a couple big, tough Neanderthal man-looking guys going at it in this fight. Court McGee versus Ben Saunders. Court coming in 18-5.
Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble. Huh?
Yeah, basically. 20 wins, 7 losses, 2 draws for Ben. 18-5 is Court, and that'll be a pretty decent battle. A lot of experience between the two of them. A lot of time in the cage too, UFC cage, the octagon as they call it. John Moraga also on the card. He is 16-5, fighting a former guest of our show, Sergio Pettis, the cousin, I believe, younger cousin or younger brother. Actually, I think he is younger brother. Cousin or brother? You look it up. Ha! What do you think? I'm an expert. Alright. Frankie Sands also on the card. He's 11-4, fighting Augusto Mendez, who is 5-1. And this guy doesn't have any experience at all. He only's got 50 wins. 50 wins. 10 losses. 1 draw. Alexi Linick fighting Victor Pesta, who is 10-3. We also got Tony Martin, 10-3, fighting Alex White, 11-2. Devin Powell, 8-1, fighting Drakkar Close, who is 6-0-1. Jocelyn Jones Liebarger, 6-3, fighting Nina Ansaroff, who is 6-5. We got Walt Harris, 8-5, fighting Chase Sherman, 9-2. Second fight of the night, Joaquin Christensen, 13-4, fighting Bojan Mihajlovic. Christensen 13-4, Mihajlovic 10-4. And then the first fight of the night, Cyril Asker 7-2, fighting Dmitry Smolyakov, who is.
Rich, how do you see this main event going? Do you see BJ with much chance?
I really don't know a whole lot about Yair Rodriguez, but it makes a whole lot more sense for BJ Penn, a legend like that, to come back against somebody like that. He's not coming in for a title shot. He's not coming in against a world beater. Even though the guy has only got one loss, he doesn't have like a whole lot of huge names on his resume. So it's a fight that makes a lot of sense for BJ, but I just don't know enough about his training regimen and what he's been doing, but if you base it on his last fight, he's going to get his ass kicked. But we'll see. It's kind of a surprise to see a guy like that not in a
Bellator. I guess BJ's been at Jackson's, and, you know, cardio's always been a gigantic issue for him. And supposedly they're really pushing him, and he's at Albuquerque, up, you know, training up in the mountains and all that stuff. But, you know, his last 10 fights, he's 3-6-1. And this Rodriguez really looks like a young killer, and he's only 24. It's a big step up for him, but I don't have a good feeling for BJ. We'll see if I'm right.
And one of the big fights that... One of the big fights we were supposed to have that's not going to happen. Junior Dos Santos versus Stefan Struve. Stefan Struve had to pull out due to a shoulder injury.
Well, what do those two guys have in common, Rich? This is some real trivia.
They pulled out
a rough fight. They have a common opponent, and I'll give you a hint. They both beat this common opponent.
Mark Hunt, Daniel...
Okay. I'll give you another hint. This common opponent that they both beat has went on to bigger and better things. Much bigger and better things.
Daniel Cormier? No.
Keep going. Remember, they're heavyweights.
Cain Velasquez?
Keep going. You're close. Stipe.
Stipe.
The only two fighters... The home wins over Stipe. Struve beat him back in 2012. And they fought in London, and Struve knocked him out. And Dos Santos decision Stipe in 2014. So it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of guessed that he hadn't fought any big names, but now I'm actually looking at Yair Rodriguez's record. And if you're not, like, really, really in tune with the UFC, you probably wouldn't know any of the names that he's fought. Unless you watch The Ultimate Fighter, then you'd know the one name, Alex Caceres, otherwise known as Bruce Leroy. And got a split decision win over Bruce Leroy. That was his last fight in August of this last year. UFC Fight Night 92. Before that, he had a knockout head kick of Andre Feely. It's a pretty big name at UFC 197. That was in the second round. And then he had three UFC fights before that. Dan Hooker, Charles Rosa, and Leonardo Morales were his victims in those ones, all by decisions. So.
And he's also a taekwondo guy. I mean, he's one of those rare guys that can take that stuff and make it work. And he pushes the pace real fast. So I just think BJ's... This is going to be a challenging fight for BJ.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he meets the challenge on this one, though. He really has a lot to lose, so he's got to go out with
it. Well, yeah, I mean, you'd have to think that this is do or die. I mean, he's had a Hall of Fame career. He's one of three fighters that holds a belt in two weight divisions. And, you know, he's achieved a lot, but aside from Conor McGregor and Randy Couture, no one else is a two-division champ but BJ. So he's done every possible thing, but it's just, you wonder why he's coming back. Then again, we all know that. It's hard to quit.
Truth.
But the problem is, it's a young man's game.
Yes, it is.
I think youth will be served. But part of me hopes I'm wrong, because I've always been a fan of BJ, so we'll see what happens.
All right, well, unless anybody else has got anything, I think that's it for us for the week. I'll work on getting a guest for next week's show. Also, we're gonna have a big surprise interview next week we're working on. Big surprise. Big guys getting into a big job coming up next week that we've got some history with here at Fight News Unlimited. Just got to keep everybody
in suspense. A huge job.
Yes. Huge.
using MO too much now. It's made its way to my lexicon. How's that for a good word?
Yeah. So.
All right, guys. I guess we'll do it up next week, huh?
All right.
All right, gentlemen. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for stopping by.
Okay, bud. All right. Adios. Hasta la vista.